Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he gathers. And I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
I am a Hebrew. I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew. I was born in Indiana.
I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
I am a Hebrew and I was born in Spain.
私はヘブルで、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea. Nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew. From West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Way.
We are Hebrew.
Over my sister.
Hallelujah. Greetings. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, I'm Sister Ashley, your host tonight. I am in Lafayette, Tennessee, 60 miles northeast of the city of Nashville. I dwell with many other people who love the Father and love the Messiah. And love the body and the brethren. We dwell together in common unity. This is a show for you, for your listening ear, and hopefully always to motivate you, encourage you, or give you something to think on. We like to call it a mirror. I've been given the responsibility of hosting it. I have amazing guests on, and I have a wonderful mother that is my co-host. Mother Jennifer, welcome again to tonight's show. Thanks for your diligence. Give us a sound check.
Bless you, Sister Ashley, and shalom to you, and blessings to all you daughters of Zion. Thank you for having me on with you, Sister Ashley. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here. I pray that everyone can hear me. I can hear you very well. Looks like we've got tens rolling in the sound chat. Sister Ashley, I just want to thank you so much for taking on the responsibility of doing the show. last week on your own. It was a very good broadcast. I was able to listen, and I just want to thank you for your diligence and for the love of the lot that you've been given in this life. And that's all I have.
Hallelujah. I am so loved. I'm greatly loved. Therefore, I can give. I freely received. Bless you. Thank you for your words. Thank you, everyone, for your time. Everyone's time is very, very precious. You have busy schedules. You have jobs. You have children, families, et cetera. You have things that occupy you. And to come in here weekly or even as often as you can to give an ear is very humbling for both Mother Jennifer and I and Mother Carol or anyone else who's ever on the show. Very humbled by anyone listening. That's the truth. I'd like to give a special greetings to any of the women who are willing to lay down their life, serve, submit, and follow and change, regardless of what it feels like or looks like. Bless each of you. Let's magnify the Most High Yah. Everybody say hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. I have a small audience with me tonight. We all come together. We are one people now. Before we were not a people. Hallelujah. We are now a people made known to each other by Christ and by his blood, his sacrifice. I thank him so much for the blood of the Lamb, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the power that has been given to us because of his death, him bearing the stripes, and him bearing our sins in his flesh. Very, very thankful. Though he be mocked, though he be killed over and over again, though he be accused and greatly falsified inside the men that represent him, some of us as women join together weekly or even on our Shabbats, in our groups, on our phones, in our friendships, and we grow together. Hallelujah. Tribal mentality. So I thank the Father for that mind, and I thank him for everyone who is in their rightful and respectful place. Pray everyone's still returning curses, being very diligent for Pastor, laboring for his household. Bless him and his family, his son, his loins, the fruit of his life. Bless Elder Becker, Elder Rufus, and all the elders, all of them. Bless Deacon Bell abundantly. Very, very thankful to have someone of that kind of character leading me. I think I personally can say that I believe Yah put us together. I know Pastor has allowed us to raise our hand in the recent, you know, messages. You know, raise your hand if you believe Yah put your family together. But, hey, have any man have it, have faith, have it to itself, right? I sure have the faith in my heart and my spirit that Yah has put us together. It's been beautiful growth and fruit in our lives. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful to know him. I'm thankful to have sons. I'm thankful to have a womb that has not been barren, which we'll talk about tonight. We'll talk about barrenness a little bit. And, hey, my sisters, I hope that you are changing. I hope that you are willing to self-reflect and to see yourself consistently, no matter what it feels like. And I hope that you have made some changes this past week, this week that we're in. I hope you're not becoming religious and going from Shabbat to Shabbat, staying the same, right? We're all on the same strive together. I'm glad to be in this race with each of you. Thank you so much again and again for your time. Mom Muncie, I love you. Bless your body and bless all of Georgia. We'll read some emails as well. So, Mother Jennifer, if you'll give your just your acknowledgments and your heart, but also pull up your emails and be ready to read for me, please.
Yes, ma'am. First and foremost, I just want to acknowledge the Most High Yah for his grace and his continued mercy, not just upon me, but the grace and mercy that I see him bestowing upon the daughters of Zion, not only those who live with me, but those who I'm surrounded by, those who live in Georgia, not only Georgia, but those who live abroad. It's a wonderful thing to just see the work that he's doing in each and every one of our lives. And I'm so grateful for him keeping us and just really surrounding us with his protection and his love, mostly protecting us from ourselves. I'm honored to be his. I'm honored to belong to him. And I'm honored to know who I am, to have been given an identity through him. I want to acknowledge my head, Elder Rufus, for the work, the continual work that never ends that he puts in for Israel, the selflessness. You know, I look at his schedule. I look at how many times his phone rings. I look at the hours that he stays awake, and all I see is servitude. I see servitude and gratitude to the Most High God. I never hear complaining. It's really an honor to just be able to look at his lifestyle and look at how he seeks the Father. He never seeks his own power, never seeks his own way. It's awesome just to have a righteous example, one that, like Elder has given me and given his family, to be able to follow. And finally, to Pastor Dow, a shepherd who leads the flock so well. You know, I Sister Ashley, I understand more and more every day why I need a shepherd, one who has Yah's own heart, one who watches over the sheep, one who can discern the things that, you know, can easily destroy us as a people when we don't see it. So blessings to you, Pastor Dow. Blessings to you for standing up for the truth. Blessings to you for speaking the truth and for your submission to Yah. And finally, I want to acknowledge all of Straightway for the sacrifices they've made for years and years, for giving all, for setting the example, for giving us a blueprint to follow, and for removing all excuses. It was an honor to host most of you this past weekend, and it really was just a portion, a very small portion of our gratitude towards you, a small portion of what we truly wanted to do to show you, you know, the way that we feel about you and how much we truly love you. And that's all I have, Sister Ashley.
Very well said, and I agree. Thank you so much for taking the time to acknowledge him in that way, and everyone who supports him, bless y'all. Bless you. To everyone who's on their knees in the background, whose name is never called, to everyone who mails in any form of currency, you know, sends any offering, it doesn't matter. Whatever you do, as long as you speak in life upon the many, and the ministry, I thank you so much on behalf of everyone here at Straightway. Hey, last weekend was a wonderful experience for your mother. Jennifer, tell everyone listening a little bit about it.
Sister Ashley, it was, you know, one of those things that we've been waiting for. I can use the term waiting for my whole life, but I can't say my whole life. But since coming into the faith, you know, we've been waiting for the moment to be able to host Straightway Tennessee, and we received that opportunity this past weekend. The brothers here at Straightway Georgia have been working very hard, and even those who are not in Georgia, we've had brothers come from all around to come and help work on the multipurpose building. We were finally able to open up last week and fellowship in the multipurpose building. Straightway Tennessee had the opportunity to come and fellowship with us for our very first service, and it was a very quaint and intimate service, an awesome time of fellowship. You know, everybody that I looked at, they were just smiling from ear to ear, from I guess you could call the old school folks, the ones who, you know, we knew from the beginning of the faith, to the ones that we've just met recently. Everyone was so excited. So it was an honor. It's like, you know, having a new home and having your mother and your father come for the first time. And it really was like that, having all your family there. It just really warmed my heart. And you could truly feel the love. You could feel the presence of Yah here. It was an honor to be able to do that for Straightway. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. We had some sisters who wanted to send their thank yous through email. Would you desire to read them, Mother Jennifer? Can you access your email account?
Sure, yes, ma'am.
And just start at the first one. Mama Nellie has sent her a special thank you, and I'd love you to be able to read it and feel it. Thank you to everyone who was just a part of supporting you and the vision of coming together. It's very beautiful. One of the brothers here, Brother Bud, said it was very refreshing. It was a wonderful experience for everyone. I heard nothing but great things. So thank you, Georgia. Thank y'all so much. It does take excitement, energy, emotions, effort, money, hospitality, sacrifice, all those things. So thank y'all again and again for a great weekend. And I'm sure the neighbors love the multipurpose building.
Well, I don't know what the neighbors think, but I don't know, but we love it.
Yeah, they get over it. Go ahead, read Mama Nellie's,
yeah. Yes, yes. It says, shalom, blessings, and honor to my Straightway Georgia family. I would like to begin by thanking you all for the hospitality you gave us during our visit. Being there for the beautiful event of your new building opening was a great honor. To witness the wonderful job, hard work, and labor that the brothers put forth in building such an excellent facility was just beautiful. The Most High has blessed the labor of your hands. I also want to thank all the sisters that labored and gave of themselves during this time to serve us all in a very selfless and loving way. The attention to detail was especially noticed. You all worked very diligent every day to ensure we were all taken care of. The young boys, Malik, Jaden, Jay, and Nathan, are doing so well. They were also very busy. I so enjoyed the fellowship with all my and daughters. Much love to you all. Love, Mama Nellie. Hallelujah.
Malik and Jaden and Jay and Nathan, my young men, my sons, I got a short period of time to be in their life. Then they're going to be men, and I'm going to be out of their face. So right now I'm loving being their mom and their auntie. Bless y'all, young men. Go ahead to the next one, please.
Yes, ma'am. The next one, it says, when we visited Straightway, where Elder Rufus is, not for 1 minute did we not feel welcomed. Their hospitality was great. They served us with gladness of their heart, and I could see how glad they were to have us. I felt the love from them, and they treated me just as one of them, like a family does. Much blessings to family in Georgia. May you continue in the love of Yah, and thank you for having this beautiful servitude for the saints. The King is coming. Love, Sister Adela. Hallelujah.
Yeah, next one.
Next one. Blessings to Straightway Georgia and all of our family there. I cannot express our gratitude enough for the love and labor poured into hosting those of us who attended. This past visit was one for the books. You all really outdid yourselves and went out of your way to make Pastor's family feel honored. I enjoyed the special time of fellowship and being there for the opening of the multipurpose room. It is beautiful to witness what Yah is doing with the community there and within the ministry as a whole, to watch the growth and see you all so closely follow the model and standard that the hub has set has been invigorating. And I am excited to have experienced a somewhat replica of our fellowship hall and live jam sessions there in Georgia. I thank Yah that you all get to have what we have here, love, family, and a good time of fellowship in Yah. Again, thank you, Elder Rufus, Mother Jennifer, Sister Chandra, and Sister Bonnie, and all of the saints there for welcoming us into your home. I always feel like it's my home away from home when I visit. Also, awesome planning. The food was delicious and plentiful. Auntie made all the desserts that each of us liked. The brothers and sisters worked long and hard to put the finishing touches on the multipurpose building, and the list goes on. On behalf of Pastor and his household, we want y'all to know that you all have that what you all done does not go unnoticed, and we love you. Bless you all. Love, Sister Summer. Hallelujah. And finally, we have one from our mother, Mother Carol. It says, right. Shalom to our Georgia family. With a grateful heart, I express my sincere gratitude to Elder Rufus, Mother Jennifer, and the entire Straightway Georgia family. We had such a beautiful time with our family, who always opens their doors to so many. You can always see Yah's loving hand upon his people and upon the land that they are stewards over. You can see such growth in both. Special thanks to Brother Vernon and their family for giving up their home for my family. May Yah continue to increase this beautiful place. Again, thank you all for what you do for Israel. Shalom and many blessings. From Mother Carol. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'm glad that they were able to send those. I'm glad you're able to read them. It's very touching, huh, Mother Jennifer? You can feel the love.
Yes, ma'am, Sister Ashley, absolutely. And, you know, being able to do this really put into perspective what Straightway does for us for each feast. I mean, we had about 100 people. So I'm like, Father, if we multiply that times 8, that's what Straightway does, pretty much, you know, every feast. And, I mean, you all do so well. You open your arms and you open your home to us to come, and we got to experience such a very small scale. So it gave me such a great respect for what you all do yearly for us during the feast.
Hallelujah. I have another young daughter that just wants to say hi. Go ahead.
Hi, Mama Jennifer.
That's Sister Judith.
Aw, bless you, Sister Judith. Shalom.
Hallelujah. She's live with us tonight. Wonderful to have her. And, of course, Amanda and Tammy and Nadia. Is Sister Angelica out there?
Yes.
Hey, Sister Angelica. Welcome, welcome. Hey, so I got a little joke. All right, a little joke. 74 or 75 days until the feast. 60. Y'all hearing all this, right? This is the joke. This is the funny. This is the. Y'all hear, right? 70, 72, 78, 64, 77. Okay. I don't know because I rely on Sister Sakina to tell me every week, and I'm thinking she told me 74 last week, and so now it's somehow only like a few numbers less than that. So it's just a little joke. 68, she says. Okay. With smiles, we share that there's potentially 68 days until our feast. Hallelujah. I had some questions passed to me right before the show. Do we have any announcements?
I have no announcements.
I have no announcements. So we have never talked about barrenness. So if you want to hear, stay tuned. We're going to talk about it. Remember, if it doesn't fit, it's always worth putting on your bookshelf some of the information you might hear us talk about. Food for thought, of course, scriptures, just some direction maybe. We're going to dialogue and talk about it. And Mother Jennifer, we don't always talk weekly. I say that often. Just today we talked, and what was the topic for the show?
Well, we had not one, Sister Ashley.
Exactly. We did not have one. which is why you and I don't talk, because we don't got nothing, you know. But I did notice a pattern of questions this week, and it was after 4 o'clock this afternoon that the idea even generated. So, hey, got some questions. I'm going to read all the questions first, and then we're just going to talk. Okay, so here's the questions. What type of spiritual condition does barrenness reflect? How do you go about breaking down its roots and finding the cause? These questions are from different sisters, by the way. No woman should be barren. It's unnatural. And to not have the ability to produce, what would cause something so unnatural to take place in your body? What makes the difference between the woman who pleaded and asked God to remember her and received a child? To those of us who do the same but are still the same, what's the block? Another question, how do you keep your mind in such a state that you aren't bitter or that you don't lose patience or faith in Yahweh, or also keeping yourself from looking at others who do have children without feeling anything towards them or feeling rejected? Another question, if your sister is barren, how do you go about assisting her or being of assistance to them if you don't understand or you want to help strengthen them? Then we have another question that says, what spirit would cause a woman to be barren? Next one says, how you know if you're praying in vain or with a selfish mind. I immediately got a text that says, hey, bless you. Sister Ashley, I'm tuning into the show. Yeah, so good. Thank you for going over this topic. It's what I need to hear. Hallelujah. Question says, how do you know if you're praying in vain or with a selfish mind when you're asking the Father to open up your womb? Are there any curses that are passed down or generational that could keep you from conceiving? If not, then what would they be? Or if so, I'm sorry, what would they be? And the last question was, if you had any abortions, could the spirit of death play into you being barren? Does self-hatred also play a role? Hey, I'm going to tell on the devil for a minute. Mom Jennifer, can I get started?
Absolutely. Yes, ma'am.
Man, oh, man, my sisters. When you are condemning of yourself, or when you are self-reflective, when you are someone who thinks on yourself in a positive way or a good way, in a motivating way or a self-destructive way, and you hear topics that are selected or chosen for our show or for the messages or Pastor Hitch things, it can be automatically very uncomfortable because maybe you're barren or maybe you haven't wanted to say you are. Maybe you think you are. Maybe you fear it. Maybe you don't know. Maybe you're not married. Maybe you worry that you are, right? And so the dynamic of, you know, the powerful subjects that are talked about, polygyny, concubines, weight, exercise or not, bitterness, unforgiveness, you know, lashing out with your mouth, sins of the tongue, iniquities of the fathers, the list goes on, now barrenness, right? This long list of things that are discussed are always to bring life and to help, always. And when you're hearing a show that is as potentially helpful as tonight's will be, so many spiritual dynamics can cover your ears and hinder you. And I'll start, Mother Jennifer, with a verse. I had to pull it up. It's actually Psalm 69:20. Mother Jennifer, will you go to Psalm 69:20, and I'm going to build for a minute. Just when you think I'm going to go one way, my sisters, I'm going to go all over the place tonight in every kind of way, because we have to cover all these questions. You hear these questions, right? So, you know, from what's the spiritual condition to how can I help someone to is it unnatural? What's the difference between someone who gets the answer and who doesn't get the answer? You see? So it's a very broad brush. That was a very good question. And so I'll just, the first one, how about this? Let's define this first. So hold Psalm 69:20. Hold Psalm 69:20. I'm going to define infertility medically as long as it takes me. Hey, we got a show, whatever. I'm not going to say in short. Just whatever it takes. Mother Jennifer, are you ready to hear me for a minute?
Yes, ma'am. I'm ready, Sister Ashley.
So infertility is typically when a married couple has an inability to achieve pregnancy after repeated intercourse without any help for 1 year. You know, like she doesn't have any contraception. She doesn't have anything hindering her. All that's been, you know, moved. And so medically you're diagnosed with infertility after 1 year of attempting to try. And medically the major causes of infertility include problems with sperm or ovulation. You're going to hear a lot of terms. Don't get caught up in it tonight. If it doesn't fit you, just roll with me for a minute, because they're going to say it's the fallopian tubes, they're going to say it's the cervix, or there's many unidentified factors medically that they might just give you, I don't know. But the diagnosis and the treatment of these problems actually require much more spiritually than the medical field is ever going to tell you. Now, interesting, your body knows if it's healthy or not. Your mind thinks you are, right? So I'm just coming from a natural perspective, because conception and the prevention of miscarriage is one and the same, right? Because if you conceive and have a child, but yet you miscarry, it's just as unhealthy as the inability to conceive, okay? So what happens with fertility or infertility is it depends on proper hormone regulation. And don't get bored, because at the end of this is going to make sense. Proper hormone regulation and a healthy bowel, your gut, okay? Because your gut balances the hormones in your body. Now, when your egg in your body, my sisters, is fertilized, there's innumerable psychological changes that take place in order for your baby to grow and cells to develop. And one of the things that happens when you conceive is that you have an increased production of what is called progesterone. So if you have high levels of this hormone, hallelujah, that's needed to maintain the embryo. Great, right? So once your egg is fertilized, your progesterone levels need to continue to rise in order for the fetus to develop and be healthy, and hallelujah, we have a baby. So a medical explanation that's given for miscarriage is called luteal phase defect. Maybe some of you nurses have heard of it, which is a progesterone defect. That's how they explain it. And it actually keeps the uterus lining from developing properly, which is hindered. So your uterus lining, I'm going naturally only for a moment, okay, my sisters? Your uterus lining is shed every month through menstruation. And your uterus lining has to be clear, kept clear. You know, fibroids and cysts and things like that, cellular growths attach themselves to the uterus lining and greatly hinder sperm and egg, okay? So this will prevent the uterus from supporting a pregnancy if your uterine lining is not proper, okay? That's how you will hear, man, I'm diagnosed with cyst or fibroids and I can't conceive because your uterus lining is very unhealthy. So you need a healthy bacterial environment inside of your gut, and you have to have progesterone levels balanced. Okay, so before you say, how do I do that, roll with me for a minute. Because as for conception, a certain level of estrogen triggers your menstruation. If you have high levels of estrogen, your periods are going to be sooner, like every 28 days, every 27, every 29 maybe, okay? But if you have insufficient levels and your periods are going to be late, or if your estrogen and your progesterone are not balanced, you're going to be late sometimes, short, early, right? When your hormones are trying to balance themselves or signals throughout your body is communicating, but things are hindered. So I hope that explains anyone who's having irregular cycles. So you have the estrogen-progesterone imbalance. Little plug for Mosaine, Mother Jennifer. Hallelujah. Do you want to talk about it for a minute, Mother Jennifer? You want to put your product out there or you want me to move on?
I'll just say just a little bit about it. It's a product to help you balance your hormones, but I never look past the spiritual side of it. So it's not just something that you take thinking that it'll work for you without dealing with spiritual aspects or physical aspects if you have that going on. So, Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. So maybe a little later in the show, if you want to plug in or a link or anything like that, or just to put information out there, we can do that. But let's go on. So you want to be able to, of course, your intercourse with your husband is going to be when you're fertile, and that's necessary to become pregnant, right? So a healthy bowel regulates your hormone levels by elimination of waste in your system. Okay, so a healthy bowel will also eliminate excess estrogen or progesterone. Okay, so it's not just food that's eliminated from your body. It's cells, and it's also these chemicals. So infertility, in the medical world, their focus is primarily on the administration of synthetic hormones. So we're going to inject this, inject that, and we're not going to focus on healing. You know, we're not going to get deliverance, per se. We're not going to heal the gut or any of those things. And you create a system that regulates the hormones unnaturally, if I can say that. And so in return, it can cause even later damage down the road. So remember that your body is to eliminate waste, and your body is to also not have the reabsorption of toxins and heavy metals and pesticides and all those things that are in us from our diet, et cetera. Once a woman conceives, we'll go there for a second, and she has a child in her womb and she's not menstruating, she's not bleeding, her uterus is not shedding its lining, and she's not bleeding for that entire pregnancy, then the reabsorption of acids, heavy metals, toxins, pesticides, dead cells, things like that will flow into your glands and into your body, into your heart, into your kidneys, wherever your body stores them, into fat cells, for example, which is a natural explanation of why a woman's body will retain weight while pregnant, because if her bowel is not healthy, then the uterus is not eliminating because it's the bowel's helper, right? So you have two things not working, and then there you go. So later on, you can have all sorts of problems. But when you want to conceive, you don't need a buildup of acidity and toxicity. in your uterus because it's going to reduce the oxygen and nutrients that are inside the growing fetus. Okay? So, hallelujah. That's a little medical. Let's go to another thought. I'm going to bring everybody in. Are you still going with Mother Jennifer? Do you have anything to add? Please interject.
No, ma'am. I have nothing to add. I'm sitting here listening and learning. Please continue.
All right. Thank you. So women make estrogen in their ovaries. Okay, so you got these ovaries, and they make estrogen. Some of you may have had one removed or both removed, so you know the potential. You guys can relate, you sisters, women, you can relate to what that's like. You know, your body dynamics are going to change. But women with their ovaries, you make estrogen there. So estrogen is going to flow through your body, and it's going to stimulate breast, uterus, ovaries, and skin. Okay, that's what estrogen does. So after one passage through your bloodstream, that estrogen goes to your liver. Okay, and I'm almost done with all this boring medical stuff, but this estrogen goes to your liver. It attaches itself to another substance inside of you, a boring science word, and it is called conjugated estrogen. Conjugated estrogen cannot be absorbed by your body at all. It's not intended to be. It is excreted from your bowel. So that's why I stress the fact that your bowels have to be healthy. And so if you want to conceive, you need to start moving your bowels. Okay? That's natural. So in 2002, which I know was many, many years ago, studies estimated that up to 40% of women 35 and older would develop uterine fibroids, which is the lining of your uterus. And the lining of your uterus causes excessive bleeding and pain. So no matter what your age is, the lining of your uterus is what's causing any excess bleeding or pain. And the lining of your uterus is also going to lead to any infertility or cancer. Okay? And unregulated hormones interfere with a woman's ability to have a pregnancy or to miscarry. Y'all got all that? Okay. So that's a little natural. So what do? We got to meet a requirement either way. We got to meet a requirement. I want to just briefly say, here's where the emotions come in. Okay? Here's where emotions come in, because stored emotions in your body can make you sick. I always say when we're casting out a spirit, we're casting out an emotion and we're casting out a memory. It's a demon. But we're casting out the emotion that it controls, and we're casting out the memory that it holds, and we're casting out the pain that it holds, and we're casting out everything that is known or unknown about its dynamic working inside of you. So I say stored emotions, but I really mean spirits, right? So I know that you can relate. So, for example, if you have stored emotions in your stomach, then you're going to have stomach problems. And if you have stored emotions in your pancreas, then you can have diabetes. And if you have stored emotions in your liver, then you're going to have many other problems. And if they're in your thyroid or any other endocrine glands, then you're going to have hormonal problems. If these emotions, spirits, are in your joints, then you can have arthritis. So this is why we can go tit for tat for herb, tit for tat for fruit, tit for tat for fasting, right? Which I would never mock, because it's given me a great journey. But at the same time, if you don't got Yah and you're not meeting requirements and you're not eliminating these stored emotions from your body and shedding this excess weight of these spirits and everything that attaches itself, then it's going to be complicated for your body to grow something, because your own body is breaking itself down. You know, and to be a generator of life, a field, you know, of life that is fertile for your husband's seed, you want to make sure you get things out of the way. So stored emotions, we know, can cause cancer. Spirits can cause cancer, which is why, you know, women whose breasts are their physical expression of love and nurturing get breast cancer. Like, where's the man that has his breast removed? You know, we all got pectorals. We all got lymphatic. I mean, we've got a little difference here, of course, size, visually, milk glands. We know the difference, but It's the expression of love and nurturing, but yet we're riddled with breast cancer. And in a lot of cases, emotional trauma has been deeply repressed inside of these women and stored in the cellular memory, right, spirits, that block a woman's natural ability to let love flow from herself and to her seed. So let's start initially, Mother Jennifer, just with the desire. I want to be pregnant, right? I want to be pregnant. I want to have children. Psalm 69:20.
It says, reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none.
All right. Reproach is what a woman has upon her when she can't conceive. You know, because when a barren woman has a child, you'll read in the word, it says that, you know, Yah has taken away my reproach. Now, a reproach is something independent inside of you. So if I bear a reproach in my body, no one else is bearing it with me. And to have the reproach of, or even the thought of being barren, it's painful. I've been there. See, some of y'all don't know my early story. And the other tens of, if not hundreds of people who have a story too. I just happen to be on the microphone. It's very painful to not conceive or to not be able to or to want it but can't. It shows you how sovereign the Most High is, that you cannot nor will ever give life. You can't breathe life into the nostrils of a living being. And so his sovereignty is amazing. The question was, and I hope I'm not all over the place, if y'all can please listen intentively for me in there and ask any questions if I like, oh, Ashley, you were going a certain way, but you stopped, because I do that, not on purpose, but like you were going to answer, but you went another way, right? She said, yes, ma'am. See, everybody know, y'all think I don't know, that about me. Look, I know my speech, right? It's not on purpose. But Mother Jennifer, the question was, how do I, it was something, hold on, let me pull up her, I got a note here. Where is it? It was about being selfish. How do you know if, that's not it. Yeah, how do you know if you're praying in vain or with a selfish mind when you're asking the Father to open up your womb? Okay, so number one, you feel a reproach because you don't have them. Number two, they're talked about here in the ministry. Children are promoted, they're loved, the dynamic of having them is pushed to the forefront, you know, having them for your husband, to represent him, et cetera, for all these righteous reasons. So when you have that dialogue and that dynamic, you know your enemy, right? Your enemy's coming with the quickness to say, see, you ain't going to have them. You'll never have them. You know, she's blessed, you ain't. You're barren. You could not even be married and be dealing with it just because Satan's strategy, right? He's just going to plot on your weakness. So Proverbs 30, verse 11, I'm going to start there. It says there's a generation, focus on generation because y'all know we're in the last generation. And Mother Jennifer, we're messed up, right, Mother Jennifer?
Absolutely. Yes, ma'am.
Hallelujah. There's a generation that curses their father and does not bless their mother. That's what it says. It says there's a generation that's pure in their own eyes and is not washed from their filthiness. There's a generation that's lofty in their eyes and their eyelids are lifted up. There's a generation whose teeth are swords and their jaws are knives to devour the poor from off the earth. And the needy from among men. You talk about the lowest of all. Someone who would have something. You have barrenness or you have a weight problem or you have a spirit or a demon or a this. And you're going to throw your teeth as swords and your jaws like knives on that. That's this generation. So notice, as she even asked, the sister asked this question, if if your sister is barren, how do you go about assisting her? I appreciate that question. There was a time frame, Mother Jennifer, that I battled because I'm very goal-oriented, right? I'm very driven. There's nothing I wouldn't do. I would fast day and night. I would do anything. See, here's what we got to have. I'm going all over the place. I hope to bring it all back. It's what you got to have. You got to have a willingness to meet any requirement that the Father has put upon you. And if it's fasting, running, jumping, sleeping, denying self, repenting, purging, praying, it matters not. There's no one else that affects you from doing those things. That's a you and you alone issue. So when you have something in front of you, no matter if it's barrenness, no matter if it's disease, no matter if it's an ailment, no matter what, it's your mind that can be renewed. It's your mind that can be strengthened. It's your mind. You can have such an increase of faith. You can be compelled to get it done. And like she said, not with selfish gain. So we're going to answer that, but I'm going to jump to you, Mother Jennifer, and let you talk for a minute. Talk to me about requirements. Have you had your own in your life and what the experience is like?
Yes, ma'am, Sister Ashley. Before I talk about requirements, I wanted to go back to, when the question was asked about how do you help your sister who is barren? You know, how do you help her? And I think one way is really to understand and know that you can't assume that you understand what her plight is or what she's going through or what she's feeling, but you have to be so diligent in really seeking the Father on her behalf with her. You have to make sure that you are just truly loving Yah, as if it was, you know, yourself, as if it was your own body that you're seeking and asking for healing for. And I think that's what we miss a lot, is that we don't have a desire just as if it was ourselves. It's so easy to tell somebody, oh, I'll pray for you, and then you forget about it and you don't think about it at all. But when the thought of someone else's hurt continually consumes you, then it will drive you to really beseech the throne and really beseech the Father on their behalf. So don't assume that you understand or know what it feels like or what it's like for them. Something that Granny Diane shared with me is that she said, you know, even though there are times when you don't know what to say or you don't know how to help, just be there to listen. Maybe they just need somebody to actually listen. And so I think we use fear as an excuse to not put ourselves in the way of love, if that makes sense. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Question from the it does make sense. Question from the audience. Natural healing versus spiritual healing, right? That's a question for any dynamic, right? Not necessarily barrenness. Just when you're seeking a goal, natural healing, is that required? Spiritual healing, is that the requirement? I'll tell you this. The question really was based on if you have a natural healing, but you didn't deal with the spirit. If you have a natural healing take place in your body, you actually have 100% of the time some form of a mind change that also got you your result. So when Yah deals with you, no matter what level it is, He is sovereign. So if it was just, hey, you needed to take this 3 times a day, hey, you needed to move faster, get up, walk more, drink this, sit, you know, whatever. You hear sister, all I had to do was just ride faster 21 days. Or another one says, hey, I just did this and this. And the other one over here is struggling. Right? Yah is going to show His sovereignty. And like I said, natural healing, yes, it exists. I always tell my sisters, hey, do all things with faith. You know? You do, I don't do anything natural without faith. So if I'm gonna take something for healing, it's going to be with faith. My faith ain't going to be in that. You know, my faith is not going to be in that. Just using that for example. So let me go to this for a second. I'll go back to Proverbs 30. It uses, in the King James Version, it says the horse leech I got to give me just a second to explain that. Because remember, this is the verses I was just talking about where there's a generation that curses father. There's a generation peering in their own eyes. There's a generation that's lofty. There's a generation whose teeth are swords. And then it says, the horse leech has two daughters crying, give, give. Now, we're talking about selfishness. That's what I'm getting to. Because she says, how do I know if my question's in vain or of a selfish mind or if I'm asking the father to open up my womb? Like a natural desire, right? You can have a natural desire. Now, we had briefly talked, me and a sister, earlier in the week, and I said most of the time, a woman in this culture don't want anything to do with children. And then come to the father, you hear a few messages about children. See, our shepherd has a child. His wife has a child. You see that beautiful example of faith, right? And then, boom, you want one. You got your hand out. And you expect it, and you don't got it on your time frame, and now you're upset. Now you're rejected. Now you're hurt. When you did all these years of not wanting it, all these years of not caring, all these years of selfishness, you know? So maybe your requirement is show me how much you want it for me, for my glory, right? Don't ever want a child for yourself. They'll give you hell. They will give you hell. I mean, there's verses in the Word that tells you better to be barren. Right? Better to be barren. Listen to it from a mother. So it says, the horse leech has two daughters. What is the horse leech's daughter's cry? Give, give, right? The horse leech was actually used here from a term, if you do a little bit of study about that, it's just from the pools of Palestine. It's a time frame where these blood-sucking leeches would actually fasten onto the tongue and the nostrils of a horse when they would come up to the pool to drink. And so it was not a medical leech. Can you imagine, Mother Jennifer, a medical leech? Back in the day, they would attach leeches onto you for healing purposes to actually eradicate things from your bloodstream, right? Now we just inject stuff into our bodies. Totally different thinking. But anyway, think about how that selfish statement that the Word is talking about. This horse leech is saying, give, give, more, more, give, give. Nothing's enough, right, for this leech. Here's the key. This is what I build it up to. There are three things that are never satisfied, and I'm going to read them to you. Proverbs 30:15. There are four things that say it's not enough. All right, let's read them. Number one, the grave. All right, the grave is never satisfied, right? Number two, the barren womb. The barren womb will never be satisfied. Absolutely not. I wasn't satisfied, Baron, and I would not be satisfied. I mean, we got opportunities of sisters that are very content with whatever dynamic that the Father has for them, very, very content. I know a sister who said, I want a child for my husband so bad that I would want him to marry someone else so that he would give him one. She would give him one, and that's a perfect heart. If you can make that statement, may y'all open your womb. But if you got the kind of heart that says, hey, you know what? I want it so bad, me, I don't know. May y'all deal with you righteously. So number one is the grave. It's never satisfied. Number two, the barren womb is never satisfied. What did David say? Reproach has broken my heart, and I'm full of heaviness. What's the reproach? I'm not pregnant. I haven't conceived, you know. I've looked for someone to take pity, David said, but there was none, and there was no comforter for me. Because that's what a reproach does. That's the impact of it. I lived it. Nobody else is thinking it. You're the only one thinking it. It's very individual. It's painful. Number three says, the earth that is not filled with water. So the earth not being filled with water, y'all know, is never satisfied. And the last one is the fire. The fire says it's not enough. Because the fire's coming and it's going to consume, right? So I just wanted to talk so y'all would understand. It's a very realistic fight for a woman in the faith who is trying to conceive. It's very, very realistic. It's very, time-consuming because you have your mind, which wants something that you're not being given, and you're trying to seek out why you're not being given it, while you have the dynamic of your husband who wants it, et cetera, et cetera. And, Pastor did a video with Sister Summer and the dynamic of polygyny and what it does. Do you remember that video, Mother Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am. It was a very, very good video. spoke a lot of, you know, the unity of a family and how a family comes together. And she talked about how blessed she is to have sister wives, you know, sister wives to help her to raise the seed of Pastor Dow. You know, it's not this selfish thing. She does not have this selfish mindset. And it was just beautiful to hear that type of testimony. And I wanted to say that, you know, you talked about prayer. And, you know, one thing we always talk about is making sure that the intent of your heart is proper. Make sure that the intent of your heart is right before Yah. Make sure that you're mature enough to receive what you ask for. You know, are you really ready to bear seed for your master? Are you really ready for that? You know, who's the one that's going to pray, Father, you know, give me the heart that I need to be mature enough to raise a seed on behalf of my husband, instead of saying, you know, Father, I don't want to be barren. You know, really get down to some core issues. You know, make sure that your mindset is where it needs to be so that you won't be raising unprofitable children. Sister Ashley?
Let's talk about Yah's promises for a minute. So, you know, if you're listening and there's any form of heaviness, you know, let's talk about this part of it. Father Jennifer, if you'll go to Deuteronomy, I'm going to talk out of Exodus. It's kind of like a mirror reflection, really. It's like Exodus 23, I think. But if you'll get ready to read Deuteronomy 7:6 all the way to 7:15, these are some good promises, okay? This is for all of us. This is beautiful. So there were laws given to us, and there are laws now. Those laws are written on our heart, right? But those, when those laws were given, they were laws for justice for our people. So you can think about our people who were in a foreign land, like many of you, right, in the second Egypt, America, or wherever you're scattered to. And when they came out together and they were given these laws, the Most High was very thorough. Moshe was very thorough. And given the law, he would say, don't raise a false report. This is you. Okay, this is your requirement as a woman. All right? And he was putting this off on the men that they lead their homes and follow these guidelines. But I'm just speaking to sisters tonight so that you know that you are not going to raise a false report. That was in law. Okay, because now we're talking about behavior. Because if you want to get Yah's attention and you want him to give you anything, let's talk about behavior. So you're not going to raise a false report. You're not going to be an unrighteous witness. You're not going to follow a multitude of evil or speak against any judgment. You're going to stay away from false matters, things that are not right. You're going to be innocent and righteous because he does not justify the wicked. He has never and will never. You will not oppress a stranger, which is another person who is coming in. These babes that are coming in, these last day laborers that are coming in, these strangers and foreigners to the covenant, because he says you were a stranger in the land of Egypt. Do not oppress a stranger, someone who is not familiar with the law. Don't do it. He got his eye on you. He said, when you go into this land, I want you to sow this land and you're going to gather fruits. Right? Because what does Pastor say? We're agricultural people. That's how we live. I'm building to something. Y'all go with me. This is behavior. Make no mention of the name of other gods. You're not going to bow to them. Why? Because you're going to keep the feast unto me. You're going to keep 3 times in a year all males would appear before the Most High. Y'all know we have Leviticus 23 that covers our feast. But you're going to keep the feast on unleavened bread. You're going to keep it for 7 days. You're going to keep the feast of fresh fruits. Etc., etc. He even assigned an angel to go with his people. And he said, beware of that angel. Obey his voice. Don't provoke him. He will not pardon your transgressions. My name is in him. Ain't that amazing? Okay? Don't bow down to other gods. Don't serve them. All right? What happens? You know, I've been called self-righteous since the day I came here. The first people that called me self-righteous was my family, my mother, my stepdad, my sister, my brother. That's the first hit, self-righteous. It's still coming. It ain't never hurt, by the way. Don't bow down to other gods. Don't serve them. Don't do this work or that work. right? This sounds pretty self-righteous, don't it, sisters listening? This is some requirements on you. It says that you will serve the Most High, your Elohim. I'm going to go to Exodus 23:25. You shall serve the Lord your God. You shall bless your bread and your water, right? Don't murmur. What do?
Murmur.
We murmur about bread and water. We murmur about food, and nothing's good enough, and nothing tastes right, and nobody's grateful, right? I'm just saying in general. Bless your bread and bless your water. Speak life, because he knows what sustains us. And he says, I will take sickness away from the midst of you. But here's the promise. Nothing shall cast their young, nor be barren in your land. Nothing shall be barren in your land. I will send my fear with you. I will send hornets before you. I will, little by little, drive out the enemies that are around you so that you inherit this entire land, and they will not dwell in this land because they would make you sin against me, and you would serve their gods. And they would be a snare for you. That's what would happen. So thank you, Blessed Most High, that you did this, that you're gathering us out right now so we have an opportunity to serve you together. What's the promise here? That none be barren. That none be barren. So, Mother Jennifer, can you go to Deuteronomy 7? This is basically saying the same thing, but this is for our people. Deuteronomy 7:6 through 7:15. Read it, my sister.
For thou art a holy people unto Yahweh thy Elohim. For Yahweh hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Yahweh did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people. For ye were the fewest of all people. But because Yahweh loved you and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath Yahweh brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that Yahweh thy Elohim, he is Yah, the faithful Yah, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repayeth them that hate him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him, and he will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments, and the statutes, and the judgments, which I command thee this day, to do them. Wherefore, it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments, and keep them, and do them, that Yahweh, thy Elohim, shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers. And he will love thee, and bless thee, and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb, and the fruit of thy land, thy corn, and thy wine, and thine oil, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep, and the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be a male or female barren among you, or among your cattle. And Yahweh will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of these evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee. But will lay them upon all them that hate thee. Hallelujah.
Whoa. Hallelujah. Thank you. So 6% of married women age 15 to 44 in the United States are unable to get pregnant after 1 year of trying endlessly. Infertility. And you say, well, 6%, that's not much. But that's actually, hey, anywhere from 4 to 6 million women in the United States alone. That's incredible. And the medical world's going to tell you block fallopian tubes. They're going to tell you pelvic inflammatory disease. They're going to tell you endometriosis. They're going to tell you need surgery. All right? You get uterine fibroids. Hey, come here for a second, Amanda. I'm going to ask these sisters who have never, have you ever seen this picture on my phone before? No, because you've never seen my phone before, right?
Right.
Right. Thank you. You're being called to a witness. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, you're not done already.
Oh.
Have you ever seen a picture on my phone?
No, ma'am.
Okay, it's going to be your first time?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Do you know what this is?
Oh, man, it's probably parasites or something.
Okay, she says parasites or something. Tammy, come here.
That's nasty.
Right, nasty. Tammy, you ever seen a picture on my phone?
A picture?
Yeah, a picture.
Yes, before.
Yes, a picture before. You ever seen this picture?
I have not.
Not? Make sure you speak up, okay? Speakers over here.
I have not.
You have not seen this picture. Do you know what this is?
I would say parasites as well.
She'll say parasites. Okay. Thank you. Have a seat. Oh, Tanisha, come on. Come on, my sister. Nadia, be waiting in the wings. I'm getting somewhere. I'm on Jennifer. Is this entertaining? In a good way.
Yes, ma'am.
You ever seen that picture?
No, ma'am.
Never?
No.
What is it?
I would say parasites as well.
She'll say parasites. Next. Thank you. Nadia, come on up. You ever seen my phone before, Nadia?
I have.
You have? You ever seen a picture on my phone?
No, ma'am.
No? You ever seen that picture?
No, ma'am.
What is it?
It looks like parasites to me, too.
Looks like parasites. All right. Sakina, come on. Angelica, you're next. Sakina, come on up. You ever seen my phone?
Yes.
Yes? You ever seen pictures on my phone?
Yes.
A few pictures? You ever seen this picture?
Ew, no.
Never? She says, what is that? Any guesses?
Is that blood? Wait, let me zoom in so I can give you an accurate guess. Ew.
No clue.
What is that?
All right. You're taking too much airtime. Go ahead.
Sorry, airtime. That's weird.
You got to be funny, Mother Jennifer. Hold on. Last one, Sister Angelica. Come on up. Because I can't show y'all the picture, that's why I have to build it. I have to tell y'all. You have any clue what that is? No clue, huh? She's smiling, but it's a nasty smile.
Sorry, sometimes I see like postpartum.
Ah,
that
funny.
Kind of thing too. But yeah, I can see maybe parasites.
Okay, parasites. Bless you, Judith. Judith says me too. She didn't see it. All right, This is a uterine fibroid.
Oh.
You hear everybody? Can y'all do that louder?
Oh.
All right. So, I have pictures. Now we're getting serious, for real. That's a uterine fibroid from my body. Okay? I have more pictures. This is the size of my fist. I have a big hand. This is the size of my fist. I have my own testimony. I have my own journey of healing. I have my own what Yah has done for me. I have my own prayer life. I get my answers, and it's a journey. And I built that, and I shared this. I would never in a million years think I would even share it, right? But I do. I got more than that one. I got some the size of golf balls, some the size of dimes, money. You can do so much with Christ Jesus who strengthens you. There should never be a time that we try to avoid a circumstance. What if I'm barren? What if? What if? Call Yah to his word. Believe on him. Pray and seek his face. We fear so much going through a fire that we can't even produce what a fire is supposed to bring from your body. So what makes the difference between the woman who pleaded and asked Yah to remember her and received? Ask Deacon Bell what my spirit was like when I was seeking Yah for a child. If you said eat a pretzel every day and nothing else, I'd have ate a pretzel every day and nothing else. Not for selfish reasons. I'm trying to produce for my husband. And I am paying a price of never wanting children. And there was nothing. I see such a laziness. I see such a passivity. I see such a selfishness and such an abomination of selfish requests. What does a horse leech say? Give, give. What does a barren womb say? It's not enough. Right? And what my spirit was like when I couldn't produce I was so let down that I had tried so many so-called requirements, and I couldn't reach the goal of the favor of the Most High Yah, because I believed that conceiving was his favor. But you can't tell me that he doesn't also favor those who have never conceived. He loves no different. That's just the mind that I was in, right? So, let's see. Let me see if I got... What's that? Yes, go ahead. Hallelujah. Blow the horn, she said. Blow the horn. Hey,
Sister Ashley, can I just add one thing before you move on? You know, you talked about how you had your own experience with Yah, and I believe that is so key that it could be easy to miss that. And I'm not saying that, you know, we're not supposed to lean on one another and we're not supposed to be there for one another, but we really have to have such a heart in us to really seek Yah first, you know, seek him for yourself, because your requirement is going to be, it may be different from somebody else's requirement. So for someone to come to you and say, Ashley, give me all 10 steps of what you did. Well, your 10 steps might be different than what their 10 steps are. You know, your requirement may be different than their requirement. So sisters, daughters, I can't say it enough. You have to learn how to seek Yah for yourself. And if that's something that we don't teach you, then we're doing a disservice to you on your behalf, because we all have to have our own relationship with him. We all have to seek him for ourselves. I'm not saying that, you know, there's anything wrong with seeking help from your sisters, but at the end of the day, it's your own personal relationship with Yah. It's your own personal experience with him, and we don't give him the credit of really allowing him to work in our lives. We don't quiet down or calm down enough to really hear what he has to say to us on our behalf, or for him to even give us instructions. Just like Pastor Dow talks about the story with Dad Dow. You know, Dad Dow, his back was hurting, and Pastor says, "Eat cabbage." You know, I mean, what does cabbage have to do with a back pain? Well, it's all about the obedience. But are we going to really be obedient to the point where we don't understand? You know, a lot of times women will try to reason everything and will try to understand everything. And if they don't understand it, then they toss it out the window. But it's not about your understanding. It's about you being obedient. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Very, very well said. I hope it's very motivating for y'all. I know a woman who's barren that, and I'm so serious. I have at times desired to conceive a child to give to her. I love her that much. I know a woman that's barren that I can look at and say, you're wicked and you are undeserving. And I would pity the child from your womb. And you deceive your husband. I can see another one who's on a journey, and she's going to get there. I can see another one who fears being barren, who says, how do you know? Her heart, her spirit just radiated. How do I know if I'm ever going to conceive? What if I don't, right? It's a faith journey. Everything's a faith journey, right? You lacking faith, hey, the word says faith without works is dead, right? So, hey, give them some works. Give them some works. Don't put your faith in the works. Give them to Yah. This is what I'm doing for you, Yah. This is what I'm doing for you, right? Was it really my this herb, that herb, this exercise? What was really the answer? I don't know. I'm pouring my faith into all of it, right? Here's a story. This is someone else. I severely injured my right knee, 27 at the time. It hurt for 10 years. I thought the pain would never stop, but it finally did. The knee was fine until the year of 2000, okay? And, let's see. Okay. Suddenly, it began to develop severe osteoarthritis and it hurt every step. I limped from pain. It ached all night, disrupted my sleep for years. I couldn't run or jump without the knee swelling and the pain getting worse. The doctor said the only remedy would be a knee replacement, and I said no thanks. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed for guidance. I was led to apply cypress and wintergreen essential oil onto my knee, mixing 3 drops of each oil in my hand and rubbing them over my knee morning and evening with prayer. I started receiving relief right away, and gradually the knee began to mend. After 2 months of daily anointing it with this oil, it was completely healed. That was several years ago. I'm still running. I'm still jumping with no pain. Although it was not instantaneous, it was, to me, for me, no less a miracle, right? So that's a testimony of, hey, that's another kind of healing, right? Faith without works, man, and sometimes you see somebody like, this is what I did. This is what I did. See, America and the medical system out there can't figure out diseases because the requirements are different, the healing's different, the injury's different, the emotion that's stored inside you is different. The spirit inside you might speak different, right? So this is where you know Yah is sovereign, and I gotta be able to reach him. I gotta talk to him. I would say to my husband, please give me some works so that I can increase my faith. What can I do? And he wasn't motivated by my emotions. He always believed. He never wavered, and he would say, I'll let you know. And if something came up, then something came up, and I can share that. More privately, that was an amazing experience. I mean, amazing. Not coincidental at all. But that whole journey for me to get pregnant. Then you come around the ministry, you see I got 3 sons, and you're like, wow, you never know. And then for some of you who are barren or don't want to be or fear it, you never know. You don't know your family. You don't know how many children will come from your womb or the dynamic, you know. At the same time, the word speaks of a time where, hey, woe unto those who give suck in that day. You know, we're definitely in the latter end. But remember, Psalms 113:9, he makes the barren woman to keep house and be a joyful mother of children. Psalms 113:9, he makes the barren woman to keep house and be a joyful mother of children. And that has happened to me. But I can relate in a very sincere and compassionate way, Mother Jennifer, with anyone out there who is struggling. I would never want my speech to be a tough talk to those who are delicate in the area, but at the same time, to those who are undeserving, you know, to those who are not meeting the requirement, it's sad. So what makes that difference between the woman who pleaded and asked Yah to remember her, right, and receive the child? What's the block? I don't know, but I'm telling you what. You put your nose to the grind, and you don't give up. You shed everything that is not like him, and you meet every requirement, mind, body, and soul, and you are determined to bring forth whatever it is because it's a goal in front of you. Don't get lax. Cry. Cry to him. Don't pretend it don't hurt. Don't callous yourself over. So she says, how do you keep your mind in such a state that you aren't bitter or lose patience? You do get bitter. You do lose patience. You are flesh, right? But every time you get bitter and every time you lose patience, you're talking to him again and again and again, and you're giving it to him, and your faith is growing and growing and growing, and you're not giving up, and you're building your own testimony. It's not based on anyone else. It's not based on she got 7 children. Gabby's blessed, and I don't got any. That ain't why I'm asking. I'm not asking for children because Pastor Corey's blessed. I'm not asking for children because Hiskiah's around. I'm not asking for children because she got 3 boys. I'm not saying I wish I had a boy because I only got girls. Fix those things. Fix that. So it says, how do you keep yourself from looking at others, Mother Jennifer, who have children without feeling any way towards them or feeling rejected? Talk to them.
You know, Sister Ashley, I look at women in this ministry, who some whom I'm very close to, and you know, I'll speak on one in particular. I see her every week come and serve. You know, she has no children, but she comes and she serves each child just like they're her own. She loves them just like they're her own. I don't detect any envy, any jealousy in her heart at all. She just has pure love. I remember sitting in a school meeting years and years ago, and I remember Elder pointing out that this particular sister, he said, this sister is loving and teaching your children even better than you have. And so I look at the model of this particular sister, and I look at her love that she has for the children. She loves them as if they're her own. And it's not, there's nothing biased about it at all. She's obviously, she has a close personal relationship with Yah. And he's really filled her heart with so much peace and so much joy. You can look at her and you can just see the peace on her face. So that sister is just content. She is content with what Yah has given her, and she understands, you know, what her lot is for right now. Now, when the Father decides to bless her, to bless her womb, then hallelujah, we will all rejoice. But for right now, she is rejoicing with the lot that Yah has given her, and it's a beautiful thing to watch. It really is. Sister Ashley?
It's a beautiful thing to watch. Hey, let's go to a ministry break. We're going to wrap up our barren thoughts. I'm also going to share another quick testimony. Mother Jennifer, is there anything else on your heart as we come back? Please share it, will you?
Absolutely. Yes, ma'am, I will.
Hallelujah. Thank y'all for tuning in. We'll be right back. Bless you, bless you.
Shalom, this is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the live stream that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straightway Truth Ministry. We try to make sure we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Straightway Truth Ministry, 632 Highway 52, Bypass West, number 7, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E. Again, our mailing address is Straightway Truth Ministry, 632 Highway 52, Bypass West, number 7, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to send a personal note to Pastor Charles Dowell, just add the letters C/O in front of the word Straightway, and your letter will go directly to him. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do everything we can to return your message. And if you would like to know more about our healing, deliverance, and truth ministry, keep up to date on events, or find a home fellowship closest to you, please visit our website at straightway.com. Straightway is spelled straightway.com. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives, so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ, just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Hallelujah, the King is coming. Mother Jennifer, do you have anything come to mind while we were on break?
I have nothing, Sister Ashley. No, ma'am.
Nothing. Okay, so she had asked, are there any curses that are passed down or generational that can keep you from conceiving? Yes, there can be. I have a Wynn Worley book here, Principles of Deliverance, booklet number 27. I should have grabbed out the page already. Hold on. Let's see. Y'all bear with me. I'm trying to find a curse not directly associated with barrenness by any means, but just a kind of like a format here. And you can say something similar. Deliverance is someone saying, I command these spirits to leave in the name of Jesus, right? And that can't be done loosely or without fear, you know? Breaking curses, on the other hand, is it takes your heart, your commitment, and just your belief. And so here on page 18, Sister Alex, in the name of Jesus Christ, I break any and all curses placed against me by anyone, witchcraft, or anything, and command the curses and spirits from them to be returned to the sinners, according to Psalms 109. Remember, Elder Becker's breaking curses. I should, when these things pop up in my mind, I would love to have the dates and the exact titles of the messages, but it just doesn't happen that way. In the name of Jesus Christ, I break any curses of rejection from the womb. That's a big one. I break any curses of rejection from the womb or illegitimacy, which may be in my family, which was just a broken home, basically. Somebody didn't want you. Back 10 generations on both sides of the family, and in the name of Jesus Christ, I now renounce, break, and loose myself from all demonic subjection, from any ungodly soul ties to my mother, father, grandparents, or any other person, living or dead. What does that mean to have a demonic soul tie? That you would feel like them, okay? That there would be a communication between your spirit and their spirit. Okay? It goes beyond your conscious knowledge. All right, so I renounce and break and loose myself from anyone who has ever dominated or controlled me, and in any way that is contrary to the will of the Most High and the word of the Most High. I thank you, Father, for setting me free. I also repent and ask for you to forgive me if I've ever dominated or controlled someone in the wrong way. That's a good breaking curses. But you can put, when you're breaking curses, that's a good format. When you're breaking curses, anything that comes to your mind, you know, breaking curses of barrenness. A sister asked me, I wish you could call in. I'm not going to throw you out there. But not many people in her family have sons at all. Like women upon women upon women, like never a male child. I don't know. If that's a curse, he had asked me. I don't know. You can always break a curse as if it's a curse with the belief that it is, something that way, I mean. And it's not in vain, because if it's not a curse, it's not going to be broken, is it? So anything that's going to keep you from conceiving, you can find out answers from on high that are personal to you that no man on earth knows. Through the dynamic of prayer and fasting and, you know, surrendering to your husband or getting direction from your leaders or just even following us. It's going to set you free. Tanisha, come on in. Mother Jennifer, do you know this woman named Tanisha?
I do, Sister Ashley. She's such a wonderful, holy daughter of Zion. She's blessed us since the first time. Her and her master have come to Straightway, Georgia, and we are just so blessed to have her, and I know you're blessed to have her there on your land in Tennessee right now.
Indeed. I admire everything that she represents while being here. Special shout-out to her husband, who would probably never hear the show, but nonetheless, if you tell him you got to talk on it, maybe he'll go back, huh? So I talked to you today briefly, and you've been to Africa, right?
Yes, ma'am.
This woman has, you know, okay, went to Africa, spent 3 months, came back. Her husband found pastor in that time. You're away, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
She comes back to the United States. Her and her husband listen to pastor, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
You're living where? Speak loud. You were living where at the time?
Seattle, Washington.
Seattle, Washington. I've never met anyone from there in my life, so hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's a long way away.
Yes.
Hey, go ahead and find how many miles that is from here, Chef. Seattle, Washington moves in, how long have you been listening to Pastor Dow?
A year and a half.
You were in Africa when COVID, with the rumors and stuff was starting to fly, right? You had to get out?
Yes.
Kind of? Okay, so that's some pretty quick notice. You leave from Seattle, Washington. Where do you live now?
Georgia.
In Georgia. How far are you from the Saints?
An hour and a half.
How often do you go to Georgia to help and to serve?
4 to 5 days, probably out the week.
4 to 5 days out the week. Life has changed?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. You're learning how to meet requirements?
Yes, ma'am.
Digging in spiritually, huh?
Yes, ma'am.
I can tell.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. May Yah have favor on you.
Yes, ma'am.
And your body. Bless you, that's all.
Bless you.
Thank you. 2000.
Sister Ashley, can I just I wanted to say one more thing. You know, I first met Sister Tanisha and her mother and Sister Tanisha's master. I first met them, I believe it was during Passover, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, you meet so many people during that time. And I remember them saying, yeah, we're living in Seattle, Washington, and we plan to move to Georgia. And, you know, it just kind of went past my head a little bit because, you know, you meet people a lot and they say a lot of things. They say, I'm going to be moving here. I'm going to be moving there. And when we got back home from Passover, within a week they had moved. And so that really stood out to me. I'm like, wow, okay, these saints are definitely serious. And, you know, from that time up until now, you can see that they're doers and they're very serious about everything that they do. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. All right, so if you had any abortions, could the spirit of death play into becoming you becoming barren? Yes. Does self-hatred also play a role? Sure, yes. It's like, once again, that time when I was on the show and I said, you can just throw a dart, you know, hit anywhere on the board, and you're going to tag some kind of emotion inside of you, some kind of spirit inside of you that you need to shed. It's all directly related to your goal that you have in front of you. You're seeking the desires of Yah's heart. Is it his desire for you to conceive? Yes, because you're a woman, right? And you're his. I think it's amazing that Sarah was barren. She had no child, right? The angel of the Most High appeared also to, was it a woman named Zora? She was in the family of the Danites. But anyway, she conceived. Elizabeth had conceived a son in her old age. She was also called barren. I watched a YouTube video years ago of a woman who was barren with her husband for 7 years, and she's not a believer at all, but she ate something specific, whatever it was for this woman's body, right? And she ate a certain specific diet until she conceived. And that was my case too. I long story short, had a specific way that I ate, which was very, very strict. I think there was probably 4 things that I could even consume, and I did that for 3 months, and I got pregnant. What else? Hey, one thing that we, as sisters, we don't respond with testosterone or masculinity or lack of compassion on people. I had a time of that. Some of you know me as that. I've had that experience being that person. I don't behave as Pastor does. You know, I don't behave as the men do. If he slams you for weight, he does it righteously. If he slams you for something in your behavior, he does it righteously. If he slams you for this, that, and the other, it is Yah's spirit in him working a dynamic that is strictly for him to do. And we put our trust in that. We believe that. But as women, one to another, we should support one another. And what was that? There was an account in Second Esdras where the woman was talking, and she said, "Hey, I had no child, and I had a husband, and it was 30 years. And then what happened? Second Esdras 9 and 10, and she has this son, and he grows up to get married, and he dies in his wedding chamber, right? Why did that happen? What in the world? Hey, when you don't know answers, don't even speak on it. Life itself will teach you to silence yourself when you don't quite understand. And just one more focus before we go. Mother Jennifer had said, you know, being a talking about the sister who is such a beautiful spirit to other children, I think that is me personally. When I did not have children, I should have been a better servant to those who did. I only had Sister Tomoko here with her children when I was, you know, young and just married to Deacon. He was still Brother Doug. Some of you might not have even known his name was Doug, right? Deacon Bell, he was Brother Doug. Elder Becker was Brother Doug. We had two Brother Dougs. And I think that is a beautiful heart as a woman to help one another with children. And I don't mean all and every, because we have those that are very compatible, you know. We have those sisters that are compatible and like-minded husbands, and we work in our dynamics, you know. You find those who are going to help you, and you help them, and you try to outserve each other in a righteous way, you know. So we're raising our children as a tribe. And I do want to promote that behavior. Take it from me, someone who learned my lesson, because when I think the experience with children and the mercy that you give them and the compassion you give them and the learning, everything that you learn when you're in your youth, I think you can apply that and save a lot of hell and heartache that being a first-time mother can bring when you didn't have, when you don't have anything but selfishness. You know, you didn't serve anybody's child. You didn't help anybody's child. You have no experience at all, and you just get thrown into it. And it is a... To my sisters who are first-time moms, it's a ride. It's a ride for your life, especially if you don't have help and it's just you. Mother Jennifer, anything to add?
You know, Sister Ashley, I wanted to say that if you do have a sister that is in your presence or in your assembly that's near you who they don't have children and they desire to help you with yours, please don't take them for granted. Please don't do that. Please don't take their kindness and just trample on it. You know, use that time to really spend time with that sister. She's putting herself out there to love your children, and you should repay her with love. Don't take it for granted, especially the younger daughters of Zion. Don't just assume that because they're not married or they don't have children that automatically that their task is to watch your children. You know, you don't want to put a bitter taste in their mouth. You don't want to do that. Show them the right way to parent. Show them the right way to be wives. But please don't take them for granted. Sister Ashley.
And let's not give any power to our enemy who is wise and full of deceit, who rules principalities and powers above us, who tries to ensnare the thoughts of the minds. If a dynamic, if a couple doesn't have children, oh, well, right? Oh, well, the Bible talks about eunuchs, right? We over here chasing skirts and chasing babies, right? When we need to be content where we are, be satisfied where we are, be service to our husbands right where we're at, and not, you know, be inconsiderate of someone's circumstance. Let's not give the power of the air more dominance over us by expecting everyone to have many or any. You know what I mean? Let's just live. Let's do the Father's will and support one another. I want to just scan real quick before I let y'all go. What spirit would cause a woman to be barren? Many, I hope that you guys would get that. It's very catered privately. How do you know if you're praying in vain or with a selfish mind when you're asking the Father to open your womb? Hey, it is a selfish question. You want a child. You're allowed to be selfish. You just want to make sure that it is for his purpose, because it is better to have zero children than to have 1,000 unprofitable ones, right? All right, we deal with, are there any curses that are passed down, generational curses? Sure there are. Oh, I did forget to mention, if you've had any abortions, yes, repent. But there's another dynamic revealed in deliverance to that. You can have the spirit of the unborn child still abiding in you. You can have the spirit of a man abiding in you, because he lay with you. You can have a spirit from your father's touch or your uncle's harassment. In deliverance, I personally have called out names of men inside of a woman, and they manifest. That's a whole nother dynamic. Don't let your head spin on it, okay? But in general, just so you know, these spirits have many names, many demeanors. A woman was meant for one man, as Pastor says. All right, real briefly, the three of these questions, what type of spiritual condition does barrenness reflect? It's going to be varied. It's going to be varied depending on the barren woman. Like I said, hey, you want to know what kind of fruit Ashley was willing to produce? Ask my husband behind the scenes. When I was overweight, ask my husband what my prayer life was like. Ask him what my commitment was like. Ask him what my eating habits was like. Ask him what I from the beginning to the end, I should have never looked like that. But what it gave me was great compassion on those who struggle. It gave me great mercy. I would never belittle someone who's overweight, right? Does that mean pastor is? No. He's our pastor and our shepherd, right? So my dynamic as a sister is different. I'm going to get you and help you to get your goal as much as I can, right? We're going to work on this together, whatever it takes, because guess what? I did insanity. P90X, right? Well, I'll tell you, Angelica, I set my alarm clock 3 a.m. every morning, and I sweat for a whole hour, and I burned it hard like I was 20 again. And months and months and months later, and it was 6 days a week, and I never missed. And that alarm clock went off at 3 o'clock, and I was more faithful to insanity than I'd ever been to prayer. I committed myself to 21-day fast, fast 7, eat 7, fast 7, eat 7, intermittent, drink only water, go for 40, eating only this. There was nothing I wouldn't do. Guess how much I lost? Zero. Yeah, it was breaking me. And it doesn't matter what anyone's, hey, you shed it easy. All you got to do is drink water. You nixed your sodas. Your story, whatever your story is, I got my own. Look at the pictures of my fibroids. Look at the pictures of my weight gain. Look at the pictures of my experience in April 2020. Right? And so you see this dynamic. I'm seeking the Father. I'm crying out. I'm spending Deacon Bell's money. I'm seeking all sorts of, hey, what it did, Mother Jennifer, was it gave me a good relationship with the Father. It kept
Hallelujah.
Me hungry for him. Hallelujah. And I was willing to, I'm going to put my money, I'm going to ask him to put his money on this. If he said yes or no, we'll go with it, right? So it was, yeah, sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no. Sometimes it's do this, sometimes it's shut up. You know, whatever it was, I knew when I needed to shut up. I knew what I needed to, you know, hey, I'm running the hill. I'm doing agilities. I'm doing interval training. I'm going to the gym, right? I'm doing this when nobody's looking, right? And nobody knows behind the scenes. I'm carrying on a show. I'm being a mother. I'm being a teacher. You don't know what I'm doing. See, that's why we can't lay our mouth on anybody's circumstance or situation without compassion. I'm carrying weight that I know I don't need. Me, personal, for health, no other purpose, right? And I would never, I'm so glad for the mercy he gave me towards my sisters. I'm so glad. And nobody can take that away, right? And so I lost a lot of mucus. I lost my fibroids. I lost, you know, what you would call fibroids or cysts. I shed a lot of things. I lost a lot of parasites. So I'm still on a journey. I'm not where I want to be. Right? But it's what we're doing behind the scenes with our Father that's finishing what he started in us. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, end the show.
Hallelujah. Sister Ashley, I just wanted to say one more thing. I know we've talked about barrenness, and I wanted to really put out there the video that Pastor put out with Sister Summer about polygyny and how that's such a blessed dynamic when it comes to barrenness or having children. Polygyny is such a blessed dynamic that the Father has given us. And remember that it's all about pleasing the man. It's all about making sure that the seed is raised on behalf of the man. Make sure that your intent and your focus is right, and make sure that you're seeking Yah and his kingdom and his desires first. And that's all I have to say. Shalom.
Amen. beautiful, beautiful way to end the show. You got that right. It's all for the man. And tonight we're going to blow the shofar for his Gaia and the dynamics of Pastor's Home. We all love you. If you love Pastor Dow, please say hallelujah when we blow the shofar. Good night, my sisters. Thanks for tuning in.
Mentality.